And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
Earlier in this service, we heard the beautiful account read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, concerning an event that took place in the life of Jesus. This was written not just to tell us about Simon having a great catch of fish. Now that did occur. But it was given in order to tell us about life. The Scripture did not reveal it to us. Inspiration did not give it to us in order to just tell us about a fishing story. After all, the world has always been filled, I suppose, with fishermen and those who had fishing experiences. But this account is given in order to describe to us life. That's really what it's all about. That's the reason that it lives today, is because it is a drawing, or it is a composite, as it were, of life. There are three things found in it. And in our study, I want us to think together on them, because they are the three F's that bring success. I know in school, we don't like to think about that failing grade of F. Most of us would want to have a letter grade several notches above that. And I expect most of us are interested in were interested in making the honor roll, the honor list. And I hope that you young people today in this audience will, with the fullest amount of your ability, make the very best grade that you possibly can. If you're A material, then make that A. If you have the ability to make the B or whatever grade letter, make that. But be sure to do the very best that you possibly can. But in this account in Luke 5 is the account of the three F's that make success. And I know the Lord wants us to be successful. In the book of Joshua chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8, after Moses had died, and Joshua was to assume the leadership of God's people, the word of the Lord spoke to Joshua and told him to be strong and of good courage, to be very courageous. In the 8th verse, he said that the word of the Lord shall not depart from your mind, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that whatsoever you do may prosper, and that you may be a good success. The Lord God was interested in Joshua being a good success, and God today is concerned about His people being successful. In this account in Luke 5, of the three F's that make for success, let's notice, first of all, that there was failure. And that's true of any life. When Jesus came and stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and He saw these two boats standing by the lake, and their fishermen had gone out of them, they were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when He had stopped speaking, verse 4, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep for a great catch. And Simon said unto Him, Master, we've toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at Your word, I will let down the net. And when He had so done, the nets were so filled that they began to break. And he signaled for his partners to come and help in the other boat. And they came to help. And both boats were filled. They began to sink. And then Peter fell down at the feet of Jesus and said, "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." That's the first 8 verses of Luke, the 5th chapter. But in that 4th verse, when Simon said to Jesus, "Lord, we have toiled all night and we've caught nothing. It's really just been a failure." That's the way life often is, at least a part of it. And I don't think that there's anything more discouraging than failure. And there probably isn't anything that people fear more than they fear failure. In Matthew 25, the one talent man was a person that was fearful of failure. He said, "Lord, I was afraid." Many people do not succeed in life because they're afraid of failure. They'd rather do nothing than to be found trying to do something and not succeed. And so it's an easy thing for many to just decide we'll do nothing. Because if we attempt any kind of effort, we may fail. But some of the greatest and most successful of men have been men that failed in many senses, in many ways. Not only is this true in religion, but it's also true in every area of life. Some of us probably are interested in sports. We remember, I'm sure, that legendary figure Babe Ruth, and about his exploits, and about being the champion home run hitter for at least for a long, long time. But something else probably about him that some of us may have overlooked is that he also had another record, the most strikeouts of any person that had played the game. But even though he many times struck out, it didn't keep him from doing his best and succeeding by being a champion player. And sometimes there are those who would say that when he'd come up to bat, he'd point at the wall, at the field, the wall at the end of the field, as if to say, "I'm going to hit a home run. This ball's going over that wall." Maybe that was a degree of arrogance. I don't know. But I do know that here was a man who succeeded even in view of the fact that many, many times he failed by striking out. The world is indebted to Thomas Edison because of his many inventions, particularly inventing the incandescent light bulb. We're told that he tried and worked for years and had hundreds of failures. That after one trial after another, when there would be failure, that his assistant would say to him, "Mr. Edison, we failed again." And he said, "No, we have learned one other way that doesn't work." Aren't you glad that he failed hundreds of times but didn't quit? Aren't you glad that he had patience and perseverance in order to realize that success comes to those who aren't ready and not willing to give up? Peter was one of these. He had said, "Lord, we've toiled all night. We've tried hard. And yet we've not been successful. We've just failed." But I'm saying to you today that the world's most successful people are those who haven't always been successful, are not those who have always succeeded, but rather those who have realized that they would keep on and they would have the patience to see something through. Oftentimes we fail because of impatience. Sometimes because of inexperience. Sometimes because of indolence, because we are just not fervent in spirit. We let ourselves become too slothful. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Paul said that to be slothful is to be sinful. Businesses succeed because they stay at it and they persevere and they maintain their faithfulness. We must not be impatient, even in times and moments of failure. I don't care what you do, how good and how successful you may have been in it. There will be times and there will be moments when there will be failure. And that's good for us. I'm sure that some things would not be ours to enjoy had it not been for failure. If Peter had on that night before been successful in fishing, he could have said to Jesus, "Lord, we already have a boat full of fish. We already have an adequate supply." He would not have received the spiritual lesson that he received because of his failure and because of perseverance that went with it. In Psalm 51 verse 12, hear David when he says, "Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation." Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. I wonder how many of us today have the thrill and the excitement of our salvation that we had earlier. You know, sometimes when things go so easy and when things go so well for us, we may miss some of life's greatest lessons. It's in the moments of failure that we can rise above these and know success. And then secondly, there was faith. When Simon said to the Lord, "We've toiled, we tried, we worked hard," it wasn't as if we didn't try. It's bad to fail when a person does nothing, but then when he does the very best and comes out failing, then that's a lot worse. We must have faith. That's what the fifth verse says. "Nevertheless, at your word, I let down the net." Jesus had said, "Let down the nets for a great catch," verse 4. Peter said, "Nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down the net." We must have faith. A faith that launches out into the deep. That's what Jesus told Peter to do. He said, "Peter, if you're going to know the victory and success, you're going to have to launch out where it's deep." So many of us want to stay close to the shoreline. So many times we will not let our faith operate. We want to walk beside rather than faith. We're not like that great servant of the Lord long ago in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 11. When Asa the king was facing Zerah the king of the Ethiopians, he said, "Lord, I know it is nothing with you to help with many or with them that have no power. For in your name we go against this multitude. Let no man prevail against you." Asa had an army of 500,000. That seems to be a large army. But his opposition, the enemy, had 1,000,000 men strong. The odds were 2-1. But Asa said, "Lord, I'm not going against the enemy in my own power." He said, "Lord, do not let any man prevail against you. It's in your name that we go against the multitude." Our life, even in moments of failure, must maintain a faith and a faith in God's Word. A faith that keeps on going. I like the optimism of the little boy who in a softball game, his team was down 20 runs. And someone said to the little fellow, looks like you're not doing any good. Look like you're not going to win. That far behind. He said, well, no. Sir, we haven't even come to bat yet. That's optimism. That's what we need. Optimism. We don't need to look at the discouraging things and the frustrating things. We need to believe in a God that endows us with strength and endows us with faith. As He did to Simon. Simon, launch out into the deep for a great catch. Simon said, at your word, I let down the net. That must be the marching order of every person, of every child of God, at the Word of God. That's always been the means throughout God's Word. In Hebrews 11, verse 9, we're told by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of God, prepared an ark for the saving of his household and has become an heir of righteousness for all of them by faith. Noah, by faith, built that ark. Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2. When the Lord said to Abram, who was a person advanced in years at that time, most folks when they're 90 and 100 don't launch out on something entirely different. But the Lord said to Abram, Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your homeland, to a land which I will show you. And I will make of you a great name, and you shall be a blessing. He went by faith. Would it have been an easy thing for him to have said, Now, Lord, I'm older in life, and my roots are pretty solid here in Ur of Chaldees. It'd be a lot easier for me to just stay here and rather than going to a distant land, God didn't even tell him what his address would be. He didn't even tell him where he was going other than say, you go and I'll make your name great and you'll be a blessing. You go by faith. You follow my directions and I'll give the victory. Abram by faith went. Later called Abraham in the Bible. Noah by faith built the ark. Simon Peter let down the net by faith. That's always been the marching orders. By faith and by trust in God, not opinion. The great Englishman, the Duke of Wellington, once issued a command to one of his officers. And this officer began to say, now, sir, I'm not sure if we can accomplish this. I'm not sure if I can execute this command. I'm not sure if this will be successful. And he said to him, I didn't ask your opinion. I asked your obedience. That's what the Lord teaches us in His Word. He doesn't ask us what our opinion is about His commands. He just simply says that we must, by faith and trust in Him, at His Word, do what He says. If we expect our lives to be successful, to be beneficial, to be prosperous in His service, we're going to have to operate by faith at the Word of God. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not the things that I say. We could call Jesus Lord and then not let Him be the Lord of our life. We're going to have to give Him control of our life. And by faith in His Word, not questioning what He says,
In Isaiah 55, you remember, the prophet in the language of God says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are removed from the earth, so are my ways from your ways, and my thoughts from your thoughts." A lot of people sometimes say to me, "Well, you go your way and I'll go my way and we'll both wind up in the same place." That's true. If I go my way and you go your way, we'll both wind up in the same place. But the place where we'll wind up in is hell. Eternal condemnation. My way won't reach heaven. And your way won't reach heaven either. But God's way will. And that's what Jesus was saying. That's what Peter was doing. "Lord, at your word, I'll do what seems to be ridiculous." I've been out in that water and I've fished there all night and I haven't caught anything. Why go back out of the same water, let down the same nets to receive the same results? No, Peter didn't say that. But he said, "Lord, at your word, because you say it, I do it." That must be the thought and the attitude of each one of us. And then last, there was fullness. We've already noted the results in verses 6 and 7. "Where as the net was let down, the catch of fish was so great that the net began to break. And they signaled for their partner." Peter signaled for his partner to come. "And both boats were filled to the point that they began to sink. There was such an abundance." There's always success. There's always prosperity that'll eventually take place whenever a person does what God says. Now the Lord may try him by moments of failure, to see whether or not His love and His trust and His faithfulness is there. But if we will rise above the failures that we sometimes face, maintain our faith, then there will be fullness. There will be an abundance. There will be success. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, "Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in you." Paul says God is able to do what? All that we ask? Surely. But he says He's able to do more exceedingly and abundantly, far beyond what we ask or think. He can do more than we ask. He can do more than we think, according to the power that works in us. That's the abundance, that's the fullness, that's the success that belongs to God's children. Three L's of success. Number one, rising above the failures we experience and realizing that they'll come in an abundance. Maintaining our faith, and as we do so, the Lord will give the fullness. That's the lesson that I believe the Holy Spirit of the Lord, the inspiration of God, was teaching us in this event. Because it describes to us life, and it describes to us how we can succeed and how we must succeed. If you're not a Christian today, you need to become one by believing in the Lord, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being baptized for the remission of your sins.